Welcome to the jungle. I am Jim Rome. We start hour number two, and the program, as you know, is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Plenty going on this Friday. Notably, a major in May, the PGA Championship. Day number two is underway already. Notably, a goodbye to Batman. And at this point, I'm not sure which is more important, at least not on this show. Some of the real heavies are coming out to say goodbye to Batman, Chael Jr., Keith Arnold. So let me start hour number two off with a couple of quick hit emails. Dear Jim, Keith will be missed, but I got to respect the speed in which it's writ. Jam that knife into Batman's back. On war, power-hungry co-workers. War Emperor Palpatine, setting his sights on the front row next. Brett from Bugahaw, here for the long haul. Yeah, that's the problem, Brett. You're here for the long haul. It is sort of curious to see what happens around here when guys leave. No names mentioned because you know the names. You know the cast of characters. One time, one guy here left, and another guy here moved into his office without asking. For real. Howie, you don't remember that. Howie's looking at me sideways like, dude, that happened? Yeah, Alvy, you were here. Alvy is like Switzerland. Alvy's neutral. Alvy loves everybody. Alvy does not want anything negative said about anybody behind that glass. Alvy, that really did happen. Somebody once left. Were you here or was this prior to you? I don't know. Somebody once left. And the other guy moved into his office, assuming that he was moving up the org chart, when that was not the case. Good times. It's probably my fault. If anything weird happens, it's the leader's fault, right? I probably should have been more clear. Or the other guy shouldn't have assumed that that was his office. At TFP Will Eat tweets, please discuss the jungle turnover that you speak of. Yours, Aju Willis.
Welcome to the park.
He's not fat. He did bounce the ball about 10 feet in front of home plate, throwing from the grass. But he's not fat. He certainly does not deserve the Aju handle. Nakatomi tweets, Keith was admired and loved by no one. Hashtag Keith sucks. Saying something sucks, including Keith, is not a take. It's not roast worthy, man. Do better. Do better. All right, 1-800-636-8686. Mark Stein coming up at 40 past. Ryan Switzer is a wide receiver with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's coming up in hour number three. I want to give you my thoughts on Brooks Koepka before he tees it up. Let's go to Dan in Denver. What's up, Dan?
Hey, Jim. Hey, I caught the show the other day when you were openly petitioning to find Keith Arnold's replacement. I noticed you said no previous experience required. Boy, that's got to make you feel important, Keith. Keith, you went to Notre Dame and still ended up with a job that didn't require experience. What'd you do, burn down a church? What was this, an internship, a senior project? Are you getting class credits for this stint? Are you leaving for good or just headed home for the summer semester? And Rome, if Alvy's the brains of the XR4TI, Keith Arnold was the tonsil. We can all see him, but we're not really sure what he does or why he's there. And Keith, I heard you played baseball at Notre Dame in 98. Well, played isn't really the right word, seeing as you had one appearance. One appearance for one inning. What'd you do throughout the ceremonial first pitch? One appearance. Who are you? Mike and Indy since the last smack-off? Well, scratch that. Mike isn't called once. You've seen less first and second base than Caleb in Green Bay. Were you the guy in charge of warming up the right fielder in between innings? Did you shag foul balls and return them to the snack shack? Finally, Jim, since Ritt's been getting all the A-list podcast guests for you, maybe just not Phil Arnold's chair at all, just let Ritt use it as a footrest. Wore Arnold killing it at his next gig, Outro.
Dan in Denver. Forget his name. Or go ahead and rack the phone call.
Dan in Denver. Remember the name.
When I said no experience necessary, I didn't mean no qualification necessary. No radio experience necessarily required. What I'm saying is you never know where you might find the next guy. What if there's somebody killing it in another line of work that they don't really have a passion for and they've got a knack for this? Some kind of uncanny ability for this. What I mean is you could come have this spot, and that's a really good chair that he's giving up, obviously. It's a good chair, and he's moving on to the next thing, something bigger and better for him. But it's still a really good chair. I'm not saying that you don't need experience to do what he's doing. I'm saying no experience is necessarily required if you bring something significant to it. Stop putting words in my mouth. Let's go this time, too. And man, if this guy has something to say about Chael, this should be something. You know Jeff in Southfield. Rare is the caller that gets set up with some previous sound. Alvin, do you have this much? Do you have this much tape of this guy so I can remind everybody of who this guy is before I go to his call live? Do
Jim,
you?
Fonzie is the first clone ever. He was a clone before you were even born. Think about it, clones. The character Fonzie on Happy Days was an adult male, aged somewhere between 30 and 45, not married, no kids, and living in the spare bedroom of a suburban family's home. Now that's a clone if ever there was one, Jim. I wonder if Fonzie's full name was Arthur Caleb Fonzarelli. Jim, while my respect for the Fonz as a clone has skyrocketed, my respect for the notion of the TV character Fonzie as a ladies' man has plummeted. No wonder he never got a second date with Pinky Tuscadero. Turns out his hopes of scoring with her got Malachi crunched between two realities. He doesn't have one, he doesn't have enough money to take her anywhere better than Arnold's, and two, the bed he wanted to take her to is in the spare bedroom of Mr. and Mrs. Cunningham's house.
Still makes me laugh every single time. So if he did Fonzie like that, I can't wait to see what he's going to do to Chael. Jeff in Southfield. He's live. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Thanks for the fine, Jim. War Keith Arnold and his outstanding service. Good luck to you, Keith. Jim, I've been watching how Keith does his job, and I believe I am qualified to be his replacement. Much like Keith, I can stand with my hands in my pockets doing nothing. Like Keith, I can make business casual clothing look like I'm wearing sweats. And like Keith, I am talented enough to push a print button and carry a piece of paper from one room to another. Most importantly, Jim, I am immensely qualified at spotting the cheap, lowbrow fat smack that the clones crave, and I'll prove it right now. Hey, Big Daddy Beaks, if the phrase fat floats was true, your ass would be in orbit. And if you meant floats on water, well, slap a boat engine on those hippo feet you've been crushing. Paint Big Daddy's cruise liner on that hole you call an ass and start selling tickets, because I'm confident you could take hundreds of folks to high seas and remain buoyant. Jim, I'm not saying Big Daddy's overweight. I'm just saying if football teams were named after beaks, the Baltimore Ravens would be called the Baltimore Ravenous. If Beaks starred in the classic foreign film The Bicycle Thief, it would have been called The Bicycle Crushed. If Beaks had been in the 80s pop band Wham, they would have had a hit song titled Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go to Denny's. And last one, if Mike and Indy sent a Beaks a customized You Better Don't t-shirt, it would read, You Butter Donut. War Big Daddy Beaks for being a hell of a good sport. Love you, bro. Jim, if you could wait until June 22nd to fill Keith's job, so I could have it without losing smack-off eligibility, I would love that. In the interim, I believe a department store mannequin with his hands in his pockets will suffice in doing most of what Keith did. And to whatever degree that would be too wooden and laconic, well, if you worked with Chase Stu for many years, what's another month of him? War Garrett Ritt, a.k.a. Admiral Akbar, deciding to stay a while, unlike Arnold and Dosmati, who decided, it's a trap!
Jeff in Southfield, rack him, and I will see you on the 21st, Jeff, if not before then. All right, so my man not only RSVP'd for the smack-off, he RSVP'd for Keith Arnold's gig. I am looking for a replacement, and I'm looking in lots of different places for that replacement. Could be a clone. Could be somebody who's in the business. Might be somebody who's not in the business. You never know. Submit your resume. Get in here. 1-800-636-8686. Like as an example, how do you know you're not only auditioning for the Smack Off on the 21st? How do you know you're not auditioning for a job, right? How do you know you're not auditioning for a lifestyle? And who wouldn't want that lifestyle? 14-hour days, long commutes, but one of the best chairs in the game, one of the best chairs in the business. Jeff in Southfield. Who's next? Man, Batman is bringing out all the monsters. We've heard from Matt in Vancouver. We've heard from Rex in the ABQ. Jeff in Southfield. Dan in Denver. Rick in Buffalo emailed. I'm trying to think of all the other guys who have left lately. Lubbock, Dasmati. Hey, good guys, good dudes. I'm not sure they brought out any of the heavy lumber like these guys have. Or like Keith Arnold has. Rex in Albuquerque and Matt in Vancouver back to back. Then Dan in Denver. Then Jeff. And we had Rick in Buffalo via email. That's a great slide right there. That is awesome. Did you see how sweet that was? Away from the play, head first. And Rick said he would have called, except that he was the assistant principal today, so he couldn't make it in. Keep them coming, man. I am rolling phone calls, banging telephone calls, back to back to back. 1-800-636-8686. I do have thoughts on Brooks Koepka, which I want to get to before he tees it up. Mark Stein coming up later on this hour. Ryan Switzer next hour. My sit-down with Keith Arnold is coming up shortly. Albie's Week That Was coming up shortly. As any great coach or GM will tell you, the foundation of any great team is great talent. So it's no surprise the teams dedicate so much time and effort towards finding the right players. The same rule applies when it comes to hiring. You need top talent, but you don't have endless resources to find it, right? What you do have is what you need most. ZipRecruiter. They scout the talent for you with ZipRecruiter. One single click sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they do not stop there. Their powerful matching technology scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. In fact, ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employees who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through that site within the very first day. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Rome. 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 ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
It is golf's next major, and it's in May. The world's best eyeing the prestigious Wanamaker Trophy. Tiger was looking to make it back-to-back majors. That's probably not going to happen. PGA Championship, though, this weekend on CBS. Tiger! Man, he and Brooks Koepka next to each other yesterday. I'll get to that in a minute. An impromptu roast has broken out in honor of Batman. Check out the guys who have called in to acknowledge Keith Arnold as he moves on after today. Rex, Matt and Van, Dan in Denver, Jeff in Southfield, Rick in Buffalo via email. If you would like to say goodbye to Keith Arnold, go ahead and do so. 1-800-636-8686. Another monster, Mark in Boston. How are you, Mark? What's up?
What's up, Jimbo?
What's up?
Listen, Keith, I am really sad to see you go, man. Now who else is going to force feed Jim all that anti-Michigan takes with your garbage Notre Dame women's basketball school crap? And Batman, how in the hell are you going to get replaced by the sparkling vampire from Twilight, legit, the day before you resign? Zero coincidence they announced the Batman right before you bailed on the show, dude. And Jim, I really don't want to take up too much of your time because I want to make sure that we get to the slideshow that I sent Hawk earlier this week for Keith leaving. It's a picture montage of some of Keith's greatest moments on the show, like when he used to sit behind Hawk and awkwardly smile at the camera, or that time he, this was awesome, that time he moved one seat over behind flight deck, and then he awkwardly smiled at the camera. Oh, and this one's my personal favorite, when Keith moved one more seat over behind Alvy, and then awkwardly smiled at the camera. So, Hawk, can you please ask James to turn that projector screen 12 head towards you so we can project this slideshow live on air? This is the only radio show where you can call and kill people and get paid for it, Jim. On June 21st, I'm coming for that purse. War Keith Arnold singing Blinded by the Light when he shines his giant white teeth in the mirror in the morning while brushing his teeth. Out.
Rack him. Never has anybody taken so much heat for having good teeth. Good, clean teeth. Is that a bad thing now? Yo, man. Yo, dude. Damn, your teeth are white. All right, add him to the list. The list of callers calling in to say goodbye to Keith Arnold. Rex, Matt, Dan, Jeff, Mark. All legends on this show. And he made the point, only on this radio program can you get paid big money to call in and kill guys. He's right. June 21st, best of the best gets $5,000. All right, so day two. Get your call in before Keith comes in studio for his farewell Q&A with me. It's become a tradition. Hell, we do it like every single week around here now. Who's going to quit next week? It's Rit!
It's Lit!
Rit, if you quit next week, you don't get a Q&A. You have to stay longer than 2 weeks. Day two of the PGA Championship already underway, and everybody out there is trying to recover from and keep pace or catch up to what Brooks Koepka did in day one. Dustin Johnson did a pretty solid Brooks Koepka impression on his first nine this morning. Speaking of Dustin Johnson and Brooks Koepka, did you know these two guys lift weights? Crazy, right? Sincerely, Jerome Bettis is from Detroit. Koepka is going to tee off later on this hour, which means we've got some time to look back at what he did on day one. And all he did was go out and shoot a course record 63 at Bethpage Black on a track that was not supposed to just be hard. It was supposed to be U.S. Open hard. Then again, why would that bother the two-time defending U.S. Open champ? You think he didn't notice on Tuesday when Tiger's press conference was before his and when media members left after he finished and before Brooks got to the podium? He did. He notices everything. He said he was fine with it, but I doubt that. He might be the ultimate fuel guy on the golf course. This guy looks for any slight that he can find, and he uses every last one of them. Some hack leaving the media center early. That's like an extra serving of C4 in his pre-workout. This guy's sitting on three majors, and he wants more. Quote, yeah, I've got a number. I don't see why you can't get to double digits. End quote. In other words, he just went LeBron James up there. Not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, not seven. Not seven. And after watching him yesterday and for the past few years, why not? I mean, why the hell not? He makes it sound really simple. The way Brooks sees it, and Rex Hoggard got into this, there's a limited number of guys who have the game to win a major. The guy with the rep for crushing it in the gym went full-blown professor, explaining why majors are so simple. As a reminder, here he was on Tuesday. He practically broke out a whiteboard and markers to explain it all and why he likes his chances to win multiples and double digits.
The easiest way I can break it down is there's, what is there, 140, what is there, about 100?
156 in the field.
156 in the field. So you figure at least 80 of them I'm just going to beat. From there, the other, you figure about half of them won't play well from there, so you're down to about maybe 35. And then from 35, you know, some of them just, you know, pressure is going to get to them. So it only leaves you with a few more, and you just got to beat those guys.
So the way he sees it, he's already beaten most of the field in a major by the time he tees it up on a Thursday. All he has to do is beat a handful of other guys, and he gets the trophy. And when you put it like that, it does sound easy. And when you play the way he does, it is easy. He went out on day one, beat a bunch of those guys, starting with Tiger. They were paired together with Frankie Moles. And Brooks didn't just outplay Tiger, he out-tigered Tiger. He did what Tiger used to do, only better. And it started with the first hole they played. If you watched, or if you want to see a head-to-head matchup between those two, it was over when Koepka did this.
It's Koepka, starting with Tiger at 10.
Probably just trying to cozy it down there, but look at this, rattles it in.
That Tiger gallery used to crush opponents. Instead, Koepka crushed it. Ask Tiger's caddy, Joe LaCava. The thing I get from this kid is he's got a lot of confidence. Nothing bothers him. He was oblivious to the crowd screaming and yelling for Tiger. End quote. That's the thing. This guy's a stone-cold assassin. He's the T-1000 with a golf bag. I'm not sure what's scarier, the fact that he shot a 63 or the fact that that 63 was, as Tiger said, the worst score that Koepka could have shot. He set a course record without birdieing either of the par fives. He wasn't fired up about a 63. He was actually disappointed that it was 63.
That would have been nice to shoot 60. I guess that would have been pretty good.
Like a murderer with no pulse. Again, this guy's had one of the best rounds in major history and shrugs it off like it's no big deal. Shrugs it off like he should have done better. Then again, it is a big deal when a three-time major winner is sitting on top of the leaderboard after Thursday. When you see that guy up there, it sends a message. And it was a message not only to the field, but to Golf Channel's Brandel Chambly. He felt like it was a message to him personally. You see, the two of these guys do not see eye to eye, and they haven't for quite some time. Brandel questioned Koepka's weight loss, his toughness, and whether his game translates to tight courses. Koepka, for his part, tweeted out a pic of Brandel with a clown nose. Chambly started off yesterday by tweeting a reference to the greatest musical in modern theater and arguably the greatest performance in major golf, Tiger's 2000 U.S. Open. Quote, I am, feel like I'm watching the second song in At Hamilton musical. Too good to be true. Thus far, he's playing like one of the guys in his group did in 2000. And then Chambly said on the recap show last night, under the situation, playing alongside Tiger, I couldn't have come up with a better round I've ever seen. I've been flipped off a few times in my life, probably not as often as you'd think, but I felt like he was giving me the finger for 4.5 hours today, end quote. Thing is, B, it wasn't just you. This guy's been flipping the bird to everybody who doubted him for 4.5 hours, and it was pretty incredible. I've said it before, let me say it again right now. Brooks Koepka is a badass, and he showed us why again yesterday. Man, they're all coming out, aren't they? And they're all coming out, not for Koepka, but they're coming out for Batman. Gino in San Antonio is back. Gino, what's up?
Oh, dude, wait a minute. I thought Alvy was leaving. Who's leaving?
Chael. Keith Arnold.
What does he do for the show? What? I don't. Anyway, sorry, man. I thought it was somebody else. All right, I'll catch you later.
All right, Gino. Thanks. Rack him. No, it's not Alvy. It's Keith Arnold. This guy knows who I'm talking about. Let's go to Pearland quickly. Bodie. Bubba, what's going on?
Hey, Bubba. I just want to say goodbye to the dude with, what is it, two fang tucked in the wall.
I'm doing great, Bubba. I'm doing great. How about you? What have you been up to, Bubba?
Man, I'm studying alternative medicine, and I'm afraid I'm going to get killed, you know, discovering all this knowledge where I don't have to take any medical prescription, any stuff like that. I see they kill a lot of homeopathic doctors, so, you know, that's why I've been hanging low, but I'm definitely going to try to make that smack off, Bubba. 25 years, I'm going to have to pull something out of rabbit's hat.
You do that. Bodie, you're invited. You know this. I don't even have to make it official, Bubba. I will see you on the 21st. If you can pull yourself away from all that alternative medicine you're studying right now. But if you can make that day, Bubba, I'd love to see you. As far as that some bitch, Keith Arnold, or Arnold Keith, or whoever he is, today is his last day. He will be in studio for his Q&A. That's coming up next hour. Anybody else? Gino's in. Bodie pulled himself away from his study of alternative medicine to wish Keith well. Some bitch. Jeff in Southfield, Dan in Denver, Matt in Vancouver, Rex in Albuquerque, Mark in Boston. Man, they're all coming out for Keith Arnold. When we come back, we interrupt the roast. Mark Stein joins me. That's next. Ryan Switzer, top of the hour. So we go back to back, and then Keith will come in studio. Albie's week that was. Next hour. Here is your sports update. Rich Ackerman's got it. All right, moving right through the middle of hour number two. Coming up top of the hour, I've got Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver Ryan Switzer. After that, the farewell to Keith Arnold. He'll be in studio with his goodbye Q&A. In the meantime, all the heavies are coming out to wish him well. Biggest and best callers in the history of the program have weighed in. None of them with anything positive to say, but they're all showing up. All right, more on that in a minute. We are joined right now by somebody who covers the NBA for the New York Times, the man behind the New York Times NBA newsletter. He is a Cal State Fullerton and Big West Conference legend, a friend of the program, and a recipient of the 2019 Kurt Gowdy Media Award. Mark Stein is my guest. Mark, good to have you back. How are you?
Mr. Rome, I am good.
Good. It's great to have you. So let me ask you about last night's game, Mark. When you see Golden State come back the way they did in the third quarter, it felt like a throwback Thursday. How did it feel to you to see them come back from 17 down, take a five-point lead in a matter of roughly 10 minutes? Were you flashing back to their old days?
I've seen this movie a few times, I have to say. But it's the style of play that they're playing. I mean, they really have turned back the clock, and it's amazing when you think that, you know, they've played such a different style offensively with Durant, and that they can, when the most is on the line, finishing off game five in Houston, finishing off the game five at home against Houston without Durant when he gets hurt, winning the game six at Houston this way, overturning that kind of deficit when Portland had them rocked. It's amazing. I mean, you know, look, Stephen Curry's the engine. We know that. And Klay Thompson, I mean, these guys have been the best backcourt in the league for a half decade now. But Iguodala and Draymond Green look fantastic. And that's a big reason why this is happening.
I could not agree more, and I want to ask you about both those guys in a minute, but going back to this notion of Kevin Durant, what that offense is like without him, Steph is averaging 46 points per 48 minutes without Durant. His brother Seth has said that the Warriors are actually tougher to defend without Durant. What do you make of that comment, and then how different does the offense feel without Kevin Durant?
I would respectfully disagree. Look, the ball is flying around more, and you could say aesthetically, it's a prettier style, but there are also a lot of mistakes thrown in when the Warriors play this way, and they were very loose in the first half. And you see when they're not locked in and not focused, and, I mean, it starts with defense even for them. As much as we talk about their offensive firepower, if they're not locked in defensively, rebounding the ball, creating turnovers, getting out in the open court, it's not going to work because, you know, when they have Durant, they just have, you know, he is truly unguardable. I mean, there is no one one-on-one who can deal with Kevin Durant. He can shoot over anyone. So don't buy the notion that they're better without him. I know people want to say that. Are they more entertaining as a watch without him? I think sometimes you can certainly argue that, but their margin for error goes way, way down without Kevin Durant, and they know it. And look, this is a limited Portland team. Incredible effort for the Blazers to get this far and to win a game seven in Denver, which I promise you is no layup. But this is not a Western Conference Finals roster, especially without Nurkic out injured. So it's going to be much tougher. Whoever they see in the finals, the Bucks or the Raptors, you know, I think they do need Durant to win that series. I do.
Mark Stein is joining us right now. All right, so Mark, go back to the two guys that you mentioned. When you look at Draymond Green and Andre Iguodala, how much was last night about Green dropping a few pounds and about Iguodala appearing to never age?
Yeah, I mean, look, Draymond Green has been sensational, and all season long, you know, he looked heavier. He was, he would say it was injury related. He, you know, both of those guys impact the game so much, and often without shooting. And it looks sometimes like neither one wants to shoot. And, you know, Draymond Green struggled with the three ball all year long. It's looked better in the playoffs. And he's really found a groove offensively. I mean, he's doing it all right now. But the playmaking ability that Draymond Green has, as a defensive anchor and playmaker, he's so unique at that size as a small ball five, the way he plays. And Iguodala the same. You know, he had Iguodala made the 5 threes in the closeout game against the Rockets, and that was the most threes he's made in the playoff game in 5-6 years. But you know, he hasn't been shooting the ball well in this series, but still such a factor defensively. And the pieces just fit, and you saw it last night. These guys have been there. They know the situation. They know the terrain. There's really nothing that can happen from a supposed crisis perspective that the Warriors haven't seen, and that's why they found a way last night.
Mark Stein joining us. All right, so in terms of a crisis, losing Kevin Durant might be construed as a crisis, maybe not for this series, but maybe ultimately, based on your reporting, and Steve Kerr said that Durant's situation, quote, is a little more serious than we thought at the very beginning, end of quote. Based on your reporting, who's closer to returning, Kevin Durant or DeMarcus Cousins?
Yeah, I don't think there's any questions that it's Cousins. And that was definitely the buzz. That's been the buzz around the team really since the later stages of the Houston series. When the Warriors finished off the Rockets, you know, I was told pretty strongly, you know, there's a good chance we'll see DeMarcus in the conference finals as long as he stays on his current progress. I think they've slowed that down to a degree. There's not as much of an urgency to rush Cousins back. Had it been Denver against Golden State in this round, I think they really would have needed Cousins, who has historically done very well and given Jokic problems. Without Jokic out there, there's not as much of an urgency, I think, for Golden State to get him back on the floor. And they also want to still be cautious. You know, DeMarcus Cousins is on the floor. Unlike Durant, Cousins is on the floor. But he's still moving slowly and kind of working his way back in. And as Steve Kerr said, he hasn't really played in any live ball situation. So I think if this was a long series, we would see Cousins in the later stages. But this right now doesn't look like a long series. So the Warriors are going to, it appears the Warriors will have the luxury of winning this thing and not having to even worry about trying to get those guys back. But look, everyone wants to know about Durant. There's still 2 weeks until the finals, and it's a calf strain. It's more serious than the Warriors thought, but this is just a prediction. I do not have access to the medical reports. No one has told me this, just my prediction. I think we will see Kevin Durant in the finals. I would be surprised. We're seeing him in the hallway. We're seeing him standing. We're seeing him interacting with guys. If the injury was more severe than that, he would be in mothball somewhere completely out of view. I do think we'll see him in the finals.
I think that's fair. He'd be sequestered otherwise. Mark Stein joining us. Mark, you had a piece in your newsletter this week where you ran down Steve Nash and you talked about the Rockets and what it's like to keep coming up just short. What was that conversation like?
Well, I think we all had that feeling when the Rockets, you know, Durant goes down and the Rockets couldn't even force a game seven. You know, I was traveling. I didn't listen to your show the next day, but I'm guessing on the Monday you probably had some choice words for the Rockets not being able to, you know, keep that series going. I mean, this was their chance for vengeance, and they let it slip. And I think everybody thought, you got to hammer these guys. They blew it. This was the exact inverse of what we saw a year ago when they went up 3-2 but lost Chris Paul. This team's never going to get it done. Harden can't win. Chris Paul can't win. D'Antoni's not a championship coach. Just pile on because the Rockets are done, they're frauds, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that was the inclination a lot of people had. But, you know, I've always been a huge D'Antoni fan. I covered those Suns teams really, really closely. He was an offensive revolutionary then, and it's my view, I don't think he's gotten nearly enough credit for going to Houston, playing a completely different style. This is not the style Mike D'Antoni wants to play. He doesn't want to be an isolation coach, but he's got one-on-one players. Harden might be the best one-on-one player, not named Kevin Durant, in the world. He's completely changed his approach. And so I called Nash just to ask him, what was that series like for you? You worked for the Warriors as a consultant, but obviously you're still a huge D'Antoni fan. And Nash acknowledged, you know, they know the talk is out there that, you know, Nash has to deal with it too. You didn't, if you don't win a ring, that stays with you forever. And guys like you and me say you weren't good enough and you have flaws on your resume and holes in your resume. But, you know, Nash made the point over and over. It's Mike D'Antoni, they're losing to a historic Golden State team with probably four future Hall of Famers in their starting lineup when everybody's healthy. And, you know, who stopped the 7 seconds or less Suns? It was San Antonio over and over and over again. Popovich and Duncan, legends of this game. So Mike D'Antoni, does he have a championship on his resume? No. But there have been some really, really significant obstacles in his way. And so, look, I think I'm in the minority when I say that. I think most people are saying he can't get it done. His style can't win. And I just don't think it's fair. I don't think it's right.
Mark Stein joining us. All right, then. Now, Mark, before you go, the postseason is a major grind. It's going to take a toll on anybody and everyone. You tweeted the other day, why are naps so good when you're old? That's your tweet. Break it down for me. What is your nap strategy? Where do you take them? How long? And do you set an alarm?
That's the thing. I definitely do not set an alarm. I don't even like to take them. In my head, I'm still, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old, trying anything I can do to avoid being forced to take a nap. And, you know, I used to go overseas to visit family in Israel, where even at older ages, they were trying to make me take naps in the afternoon. I hate naps. But the other night, man, I had, after a long, painful overnight writing session, I fell asleep at 6 o'clock Pacific time and missed the first half of Bucks Raptors game one. And no alarm, shameful behavior for me in the middle of the playoffs, but man, it was the best 3 hours of sleep I've had in ages.
It was the best thing ever, wasn't it?
We're old. We're old, man. We were young once.
You know, I want to incorporate it, Mark. People believe in it. People say the power nap is the best thing possible. I can't quite do it. I can't fall out for 15 or 20 minutes, but I will say I came home yesterday, and like you, I'm getting a little bit older, knocked out some cardio, barely made it back to my house. Man, I knocked off for an hour before dinner. I never do that. It was awesome. It was awesome.
Yeah, I don't feel good about it, but like I said, it's the best rest I've had since I can't even remember when. So,
well, then again, you maybe you shouldn't feel good about it. You did go 3 hours. 3 hours is a long time.
Especially at 6 Pacific. Not a good look.
Especially when you miss a half of a basketball game. It's all right, though, man. You earned it. There's no way you would have done that if you didn't need it. He is Mark Stein. He covers the NBA for the New York Times. He is the man behind the New York Times NBA newsletter. He is a Big West Conference legend and the recipient of the 2019 Kurt Gowdy Media Award. Mark, great job. Thanks for doing that.
Always good to catch up, man.
You too. You're the best. Mark Stein. Big West legend. A three-hour nap, man. That's not a power nap. That's like sleeping the night. That's sleep. That's not a nap. That's sleep. That's more sleep than I got last night. Hey, really quickly. So last night, I fall out. Logan, our younger son's got this thing, man. He talks in his sleep. He walks in his sleep. The kid does both. Last night, he was screaming in his sleep. I wake up like an hour and a half after I go to bed. Forget it, man. My head's spinning. I'm downstairs with the lapper, 1:30 a.m., just banging out prep. So Mark Stein had a longer nap than I slept last night. That'll happen. When we come back, Rogan Switzer joins me next.